fighting for America.
The word is now that the Attorney General will resign today, and that he has served our country very, very well.
Wow.
The Attorney General will be submitting his resignation to the President.
Fighting for Idaho.
I don't know for sure who we're arming. I'm not sure that a year or 2 years from now, those weapons won't be turned on us. I'm very uncomfortable with what's going on there.
Fighting for you.
Good morning, Kevin. I just admire you to no end. You keep doing the right things. Having you out there and promoting the things that you promote is sure a blessing.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the morning.
Stay on top and stay strong.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We are joined by Alan L. Morton, attorney at law with us.
Well, good morning, Kevin.
We go to our top story of the day, and that is the attorney general resigning. I say a welcomed boot for that creep Eric Holder. Now, is that fair to call him a creep, counselor?
Well,
can we insult people in the politically correct world that we live in today?
You do have a First Amendment privilege to say whatever you wish with
then there are consequences of that. Now, does the word creep come into the realm where it's too offensive? You are our legal advisor here.
You know, I'm sure that the list of names that people have called me is long and distinguished along those same lines. I know Mr. Holder personally.
Well, that's why we have you here. Good friend, your colleague, Eric Holder.
I wouldn't go that far to say that he's a good friend. I've met him on a time or two, and we've worked the wall together on certain issues. I've been on the record very, very loud and very clear of my criticisms of Mr. Holder's performance as the U.S. Attorney General.
Now,
is
it okay to call him a creep?
I don't call him a creep.
Can I call him a creep?
You can call anybody whatever you want.
At least once. Let's go to the news story, and then we'll have more commentary. By the way, your thoughts. Finally, Eric Holder gets the boot, 580-5436.
He'll be remembered as one of the more controversial attorneys general, a term that saw the Justice Department tackle financial fraud, terrorism, and civil rights enforcement.
Work remains to be done, but our list of accomplishments is real.
Eric Holder's critics, particularly amongst Republicans, were many. A statement from House Speaker John Boehner calling the resignation long overdue. Holder was voted in contempt of Congress over his handling of the Fast and Furious gun running scandal. He stays in office until a successor is confirmed, a process Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says he hopes is swift. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News Radio.
Now, I heard Holder's getting the boot because our friends at Judicial Watch have gotten a judge to make Holder compel him to release Fast and Furious documents that Congress could not get him to release.
Just within 16 hours ago, a judge of competent jurisdiction entered an order requiring Eric Holder and the Department of Justice to release these records that Judicial Watch had been long seeking the disclosure of concerning what's been referred to as the Fast and Furious dispute. Holder and the Department of Justice claim that these documents were privileged under the executive privilege doctrine, and the court rejected that, ordering them to at least forego the blanket assertion of privilege and saying you've got to produce a privilege log identifying what documents you have and the basis for the privilege. And that document must be presented by October 22, on or before that. What Holder wanted to do was to wait for the disclosure after the midterm election, and the court rejected that and said they had until October 22. Within hours after that, the president then had this press conference accepting Mr. Holder's resignation. However, that does not go into effect for weeks or months until his replacement is nominated and presented to the Senate.
Right. At 580-5436, 580-KIDO, talking about Eric Holder getting the boot. I think it's a good move. Now, please correct me, counselor. I think this was forced, number one. Number two, I think Eric Holder has been one of the most polarizing attorney generals that we've ever seen. He's going down to Ferguson, and as they're looting and robbing, investigating the police department, the man did not, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong here, but according to published reports, did not see civil rights crimes as when it was black on white. He refused to prosecute those, according to his own people in the Department of Justice. We have him justifying snooping on reporters and arrogantly going, what are you going to do about it? And finally, your good friend, Congressman Labrador, insulted by Eric Holder. Do we have that? Yes, we do. Let's go to the videotape, please.
Chairman,
I hope
I could
not.
Just say one thing.
Yes, sir.
In response to Mr. Labrador.
Of course.
That was among the worst things I think I've ever seen in Congress. You took a whole series of statements out of context. With no context.
With all due respect, the worst thing I've ever seen.
The gentleman's time has expired.
And, you know, I was, the Mark Rich thing was considered in my confirmation. Talked about it then. There's a whole bunch of things that I could say about what you just did. And maybe this is the way you do things from, you know, in Idaho or wherever you're from. But understand something. What I've done, I'm proud of the work that I've done as Attorney General of the United States, and looked at fairly, I think that I've done, you know, a pretty good job. Have I been perfect? No. Have I made mistakes? Yes.
I've done a pretty good job, and I don't know how they do things where you're from. Okay, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. You're a distinguished guy. You're trying to help me become civilized, if you will, to have some diplomacy. What the blank was that?
Well, You've made a lot of statements here, and I want to clarify a couple of things. First and foremost, Eric Holder has gone on the record years ago that he was basically in this not for the duration, but for 4 to 6 year term. He did this. He's a personal friend of Obama. They went to law school together. They've been friends for years since then. But if you put the question to me of a report card of his performance, it certainly to me comes within the realm of a D to C minus range in his performance on a number of issues. With respect to the comments that the honorable representative from the state of Idaho said, you know, boo freaking who, with respect to his comments.
He's a congressman.
It's been both ways.
He's a congressman.
It's both ways.
He's a congressman. That guy works for Congressman Labrador.
He does not. He works for the executive branch.
Shouldn't there be some respect? How dare he insult Idaho?
You know, the whole point is that they're at each other. And that's been my continual criticism of the labels that we place upon each other. Instead of having an open discussion and dialogue of the issues, we throw names at each other. And it breaks down the dialogue. You know, there's much to be said and many problems that need to be addressed. And here we are spending time about what each of us are calling each other. And that's part of the problem that we talked about last night.
As an attorney, how in the world, as the chief law enforcement officer, he's an embarrassment?
Well,
I mean, how can you defend him when he allowed the spying on reporters, he covered up Fast and Furious, the civil rights issue? What is that about? He's going down to Ferguson, Missouri, a powder keg, and he's talking about, we're going to get to the bottom of this. Well, sir, what are you going to do about the people blowing up the buildings?
On this very station, we heard yesterday a well-renowned commentator on the right make this criticism about Eric Holder being partial and perhaps even biased. And our comment that we talked about last night was that's the problem of government in and of itself. There is no impartiality, and quite frankly, I don't know of an attorney anywhere that is impartial in performing their function, because we represent clients.
Doesn't he have a duty to protect the law? And here's another one. When you have the Black Panthers outside a voting booth armed with bats or guns, and he does nothing about that, is that not intimidation? Does that not fall into the realm of bringing in the feds like we did during George McGovern George Wallace and in Alabama?
Let's be clear. Of my criticisms of this particular attorney general, I've been on the record of just outright saying in my reporting of his performance is that he's been incompetent in many respects. I'm not proud of the performance that he's done. I know he's good friends with the administration, but his performance has been less than satisfactory on a number of issues with respect to being what's typically referred to as being the top cop. This last foray within the last month, I went on the record, is very critical of him basically pouring gasoline on an already hostile situation of him showing up at the scene.
Where's his responsibility then?
His responsibility, stay home.
Right.
We don't need to allocate resources to protect government officials when the local people are taking care of it.
We're joined by Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, and our great friend Jim from Middleton. Alan, please stop playing with your laptop there, and we go to the phones at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin. Hey, I wanted to weigh in here. You know, Mr. Morton there, you know, he may be an honorable attorney, but there's very, very few of them. Our country is run by attorneys, and you see the state of affairs. This administration, the president and Mr. Holder, are attorneys as well. And these people are the biggest racists I've ever seen. They write the book on calling people names. And I have very little respect for a profession of lawyers and attorneys that continue to practice their trade. Yet a hamburger flipper in at McDonald's is held to a higher standard because they could not get away with what attorneys do to this country, Kevin, on a daily basis, okay? The lies that's come out of this president's mouth, if you like your doctor, you can keep it. We forget these things so quickly. But and then Ms. Morton's talking about not calling people names and being honorable and what have you. I mean, you got to look at your whole profession, sir, and it's pretty pathetic in terms of their performance opposed to people that work in everyday situations, because they could not get away with that kind of behavior.
Well, I think you raise some good points. My purpose here is in following the tradition of George Herbert Walker Bush's comments about trying to raise the level of discussion beyond name-calling to the issues to make our society a kinder, more gentler community. I don't see much served in name-calling, but you can still raise the issues
and talk about
right and wrong. I think that's what you're talking about. Your frustration is that attorneys should be held to a higher standard in any discussion, in any discourse. They should set the example. You know, our nation was founded by, in effect, lawyers from its very inception, and that goes to reason because we're the ones that are involved in both writing the law, enforcing the law, legislating the law, interpreting the law, and that's basically what government is. It starts with our Constitution and then the laws that come down from there, both state and federal. So I'm not in disagreement with you.
Okay, well, we had a conversation earlier, and you were discussing the Second Amendment and other issues. And you basically said, you know, whoever's in power can kind of dictate policy. So when we pass laws, okay, and then we have a new administration that wants to reinterpret them, I don't have a whole lot of faith in that. Either the law is black and white in most cases, or they're not. Okay, and again, you may be honorable. I don't know that for sure, but I'm going to take it that you are. You're on Kevin's show, so that says something. But most attorneys are not revered in high regard or held in high regard, and most attorneys are corrupt, and that's a fact.
Well, I guess really what there is there's two types of people in this world. There are lawyers and those who hate lawyers. And so some of that contempt comes from what some in my profession have done. But for the most part, particularly in the Treasure Valley, I've known some great people that are lawyers, and I'm proud to be one.
Well, okay, now.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, with us.
The latte salute. The White House posted this video on Instagram on Tuesday. Shows President Obama stepping off Marine One here in New York, saluting Marines with a coffee cup in his hand. Some are now calling this disrespectful. They're offended by it. But politics being politics, some of the president's defenders are circulating this photo of George W. Bush during his presidency. He is saluting service members while holding his dog, Barney. It didn't take long for that photo to come out as well. Yeah.
President George W. Bush saluted as well in a way that was seen as controversial. He was holding Barney the dog there. So you have people who don't care for President Obama who say, this is so disrespectful. The supporters of Obama then show the picture of Bush, and then it goes back and forth.
He's got ISIS to deal with, a lot on his mind. There's a lot more bigger concerns in the world, and we're focusing on a cup of coffee.
Right. Two women that I worked with in the past, Tamara Hall and Natalie Morales, now on the Today Show, and I'm with you and Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. How far we've all come. However, the point being at 580-5436, a lot of people say, oh, a salute, what's a big darn deal? For people that serve in the military, understand that. It takes you sometimes days, weeks, months to understand the significance of the salute, to actually do it correctly. And is it beneath the commander-in-chief to do it properly, sir?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed with our country with respect to all the problems that we have, like we talked about last night with domestic abuse, child abuse, and we're talking about a freaking salute. I think that, my hat's off to those who have served, that those who are serving, and our prayers are with them. We are in war, and we're fighting an enemy. But instead of talking about the issues and debating about what we should be doing with dealing with the jihadi Johns of the world, and there's not just one of them, there are many of them, we're left to a debate about the manner in which the president salutes, either holding his dog or holding his coffee cup.
Let's give you the counter argument. Here's a guy that let those people die in Benghazi, and by the way, Alan, our great friend, and we could agree to disagree here at 580KIDO, who benefited by killing Osama? Heck, the way the press came out with it, you'd think that Obama was right there telling SEAL Team 6 where to go. I think it's an embarrassment how this person has used the military and publicized these special ops that have been in the shadows and like to stay in the shadows for his own personal benefit. And then when you, and I'm not filibustering, and then when you have people dying. That's how I feel when you're yapping. We got to keep this going. So give and take. So when you have people dying in Benghazi, he still has not revealed where he was that night.
The point is this.
No. You said you're laying the smack down that he's some great commander in chief.
No, I'm not.
What about Benghazi?
Not saying that at all.
What about Benghazi?
But you've got to give him credit where credit is due. That's the point.
And no one's giving him no one's being critical for Benghazi. Address Benghazi.
I've researched that issue fully. All right. Our embassies, this isn't the isolated incident where an embassy was under attack and nothing happened. We've seen this every year. Under every administration where our embassies are under attack and people die. It was of notoriety that we lost an ambassador. But we've had people that have been shot and killed at targets.
When they're calling on the phone and the military is ready to go, when the people that served in that consulate are prohibited from speaking publicly in America because the administration wants to cover it up, when Judicial Watch has to sue, it's a little different. It's a little different than what happened in Nigeria or Kenya or some other place.
I tip my hat to you on one thing. Instead of reducing this to name calling and talking about creeps, now we're talking about public policy. What should the United States of America should do when our embassies, our own property in a foreign land, is under attack? That's a very legitimate debate, and that's one that's going to continue on. But what my concern is that instead of focusing on that debate, what we do is we talk about, how a president salutes.
I think that's important. In fact, we have a lot of people who have served with distinction here at 580KIDO that have said this. Here we go. Kevin, I gave 22 years of my life to the military and in this country and still serve. Quite a few sacrificed their limbs or lives. It shows disrespect to not have the common courtesy to learn and render a proper salute or have the cojones to say, I'm not saluting.
The point is this, is that when you look at how every president has snapped a salute, it was never what you see at Paris Island. It was never what you see at any military installation. These people typically, like I said, they're laypersons. They don't know how to salute. It's not, to me, you know, I mean no defense or disrespect to anyone who has served or is serving, you know, with respect to that. But if I go to Toys or Tots, you know, at the Toys R Us store, and I see a Marine dressed in a snappy uniform.
Dress blues, yeah.
Dress blues. It's not uncommon. I don't see any Vietnam vet that goes up there and then snaps a salute.
You're not the
at
president.
Him.
They're not the president.
I agree.
The president's the
That's
commander
what I'm
chief.
Saying
is. More coming up with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. He's coming under fire. You have to leave.
I do.
All right. Well,
I've got to get to work.
I think you're ducking AJ. You yeah. like AJ? Is he your boy?
Is he my boy? Let's put it this way. I like both of these folks.
Oh,
I like
come on.
Butch
quit,
and I like AJ. I do. These
quit
people
waffling
are good
on the
guys.
Fence.
It's not about, well, you've asked me a personal question, not about policies and programs, but you asked me if I like these guys. And both AJ and Butch, they're likable people. I mean, look at what Butch did, for example, when I called him out for the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. You know, I never thought that he would answer that, but that's the kind of guy that he was. He stepped up and he did it with flair.
You know, we take one side or the other here, buddy.
But that's the point.
Are you
is
a
that sometimes,
guy?
Sometimes what you have to do is you have to make a stand with respect to the personalities. You're bombarding me with questions, but what am I? I'm a father of five, and I'm a grandpa of seven. And I am a great proponent of life.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Over the past couple of years, during the chaos of the Syrian civil war, where essentially you have huge swaths of the country that are completely ungoverned, they were able to reconstitute themselves and take advantage of that chaos.
And there we have it. President Obama last night on 60 Minutes with Steve Croft. I want to be Steve Croft. I want to have a relationship with a politician that you might help get into office, and then you're his guy. Wouldn't that be nice, Dave Brennan, to be the guy?
You know, I don't know that I would want that. I just don't know that the pressure that would be on you at that point to play the role for the guy would be tough.
Well, you know, we all play the role. In fact, can I tell you a little secret this early in the morning?
Sure.
That's what I thought the relationship that I would have with Congressman Labrador would be. I thought that I'd be his guy and not like leave broadcasting to go work for him like Dan Popke did. But I would be the guy when he needed to get something out there. He'd come right here and the militia would listen, and we'd rally to the sounds of the gunfire like Steve Croft. I guess I'm just no Steve Croft, and Congressman Labrador is just not a President Obama.
I don't know what you mean by all that.
Well, it comes down to it, and this is like I said, when you have a close relationship like Steve Croft does, that's where President Obama goes. He doesn't go to Leslie Stahl. He doesn't go to, God rest his soul, I think he's dead, Morley Schaffer. He doesn't go, no, I think Morley is one of those that are still alive, Mike Wallace. He doesn't go to the dearly departed Mike Wallace. He doesn't go to Diane Sawyer. He goes to his boy, Steve Croft, and Croft gets the skinny inside the White House.
Well,
it's all about ticky and punchy.
If you want to just repeat what's being told, yeah, I guess that'd be fine.
Hey, you're doing it in the big wing of the White House, so not a bad gig. So the president, once again, telling us ISIS, ISIL is the problem. They've reconstituted, of course. Looking at consistency with the foreign policy, didn't he say they were the JV like 3 months ago or something like
yes.
that?
Yes, yes, they were the junior varsity. They weren't the real terrorists. They were the junior varsity. But he did admit that they underestimated him, I guess.
Yeah.
Which, that's scary to me. That is a scary admission.
What's even scarier, and this broke right after we left the air, is the Oklahoma beheading.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness gracious, Dave Burnett, and let's get rid of everything else. Let's get rid of any of the curtain that we call broadcasting, and just say it here at 580KIDO. These people are something that we've never dealt with. These people are bringing it to our shore, and they're doing it with our own people.
Well, I mean, we have heard leaks of that coming out from sources that we need to be aware of that could be a possibility. And now we're starting to see it. That is, if you're willing to say that it might have just been a coincidence that the guys recently converted to Islam and chopped off her head. I mean, that might be a coincidence.
Or you could be like somebody on MSNBC. Calling this, and again, folks, put down your hot liquids right now, a case of workplace violence.
Yes, much as Fort Hood was workplace violence.
Right. And do we see the common denominator here? As you brought up, you've got Major Nadal Hassan at Fort Hood. You've got this guy in Oklahoma. And we have the president. Islam is a religion that preaches peace, a case of workplace violence. It goes on and on and on. And, I mean, what's the common denominator here?
The media? No, I shouldn't. What is the common denominator? Young, Muslim-faithed.
And radical.
Radical, yes. Radical, and I would say I do need to add that, radical Muslim faith.
Right. But here's something that I need to ask you, and perhaps I'll blog about it at 580KIDO, that's soon to be award-winning blog. Award-winning? I don't know. I just was a gratuitous comment. But here, is it time that we reconstitute everything and send a message back that if you do this type of horrible crime, and I hate to believe I'm going to say this, Ron Paul and everybody else will smack me for this, that due process is out the window. We know you did it. We had your writings. You have to go. We need to send a message that this type of behavior is not tolerated, because they're going to look at this guy getting his lawyer, getting his due process. He won't be executed for 20 years. And that's on a fast track.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no. I mean, there's no doubt that would, you know, this will be tied up in the courts. And yeah.
It's as if it's something. Football or boxing or something like that. It's a style that we just have never been able to solve. And I don't think anybody's been able to solve it except by eradicating and eliminating to the utmost extreme your enemy. And I don't know if we're wired for that.
I don't know that we are either, because, you know, there is a segment of the population that just sees that as cold and mean, because, you know, there might be some innocent people that, you know, it's just seen as cold and mean.
Well, yeah, that's the issue, cold and mean, and we're going to go out of our way to make sure that we don't have any collateral damage. Well, they don't have a problem with collateral damage with us.
No. No, not whatsoever. But again, we get so, and I keep going back to this, we get so busy on watching what's new on TV. And did you see what happened on Scorpion? Is that the name of the show? Scorpion.
Yes, the new one, based on true events.
Yeah, and so we get all wrapped up in that. Well, meanwhile, in Oklahoma, there's real-life drama going on. Or Ferguson, Missouri, there's real-life drama going on.
Now, that's a great point. Here you have a cop that shot. Nobody's writing about that. And I have to say, everybody, you know, it's open season on authority figures, at least in Ferguson, Missouri, it seems. Now you're going to say, well, it's just one shooting. This guy pulled the guy over in front of a community center, pow, and then fled away.
Yeah, which now, you know, politicians jumping out saying there's nothing to tie to the shooting in Ferguson earlier in the summer.
Right.
So they're quick to jump and say that.
Aren't they quick, and aren't we all quick?
Yeah. It just, you know, as you walk in on a Monday morning, you would like to have a little brighter light shining. But, man, just, again, the news just very heavy.
It is. And you know, sometimes we can't ignore it because it's just there. On a lighter note, what were you doing Saturday night?
I was watching the Bronco game. Saturday night or after, because it started, I think, at 5.
Yeah, for me, that's night.
So I was watching the Bronco game and doing some other stuff as well in the meantime.
Well, what'd you think of the Bronco game?
I think they ran into a buzzsaw. I think that their offense showed itself vulnerable. Grant Hedrick had a hard game. But I guess he's still the quarterback. You know, that's the thing a coach would say at this point. I personally wonder about that one. And their defense did okay. You know, their defense really did okay. They were just put in a bad situation countless times.
Right, but you take a look at Air Force, and the Broncos have beaten them twice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just didn't come to play. It just seems like, you know, two fumbles by Jay Ajayi. What is it? Four interceptions by Hendrick. You know, there's really no excuse for that if you're an elite program. I mean, the service academies are great and wonderful, but for how long it was 17-0, and I still thought that the Broncos, because of their talent, because their defensive line actually weighed more than the Air Force's offensive line,
mm-hmm.
I thought the Broncos would come back just based on sheer talent alone.
Yeah, I thought so. And they did, you know, they did start to come back toward the end. You began to see that physicality wear down Air Force, but it was too late. I mean, you know, there was not five quarters in the game. So,
who's to blame here? Mr. Harsin?
I don't know that anyone's to blame.
There's someone to blame. I mean,
ultimately, the head coach takes responsibility for what happened.
I'd have to say that's an embarrassing loss to a team that hasn't beaten anybody in the Mountain West in, what, over a year? I mean, yeah, you know, we're all held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Are we not?
Well, I think so, but I don't know that it's life and death. It's football, but I don't know that it's life and death.
When you're making $1.5 million a year, I think it's pretty serious. And I think for the Broncos, there's a double standard because you have to win every game. You have to do this, especially now with this bogus system of you know, one team gets in and one team doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, that at this point, that is gone for the Broncos. At this point, they are trying to play for the Mountain West Championship. That is what's on the table for them. By going out losing to Air Force, that opportunity to sneak into the bowl system is gone. So they'll be looking at Poinsettia or one of those bowls. It's gone. Simple as that.
Well, what about the bowl here? Is that out of the question?
Well, no. I mean, that's always a possibility. But I still say probably they would go Vegas Bowl. They would go Poinsettia. One of the two.
If they win the conference.
If they win or if at least they play for the conference championship. No, and we don't know at this point.
Well, let me hit you with this here at 580KIDO. So what do you make of Nevada? Jim Harbaugh came in and gave him a big speech because their coach there, whose daddy was the NFL GM, blah, 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 was on ESPN. Bill Polian's kid, Little Polian. So Harbaugh speaks with Little Polian. Little Polian, they beat San Jose State. Now they're getting ready for the Broncos. Always a rough place to play, as Kellen Moore can attest. What was that? Was that Kaepernick's senior year when they beat the Broncos? Was that it? Or was it his junior year? I think they came out the same year, so
it's kind of a blur. I don't remember.
Anyway, I just remember, you know, the infamous kicks that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So Nevada is a tough place to play.
It is very difficult. It's a tough place to go as fans. Of all the places I have seen, it is one of the rudest and worst crowds of hatred toward Boise State fans, let alone team, that I've been at. It's a place that I probably would not go watch a game.
Really?
Yep.
Even with the great casinos and all that?
Well, there's casinos all over Nevada, so that doesn't matter. But no, there is a rude, angry fan base at Boise State for all the years that Boise State locked them out. That it's brutal.
Well, we'll have to see how that plays out. I got to tell you, though, and I love it because everybody loves you when you're winning. And I love that, you know, I live by this because I continually get punched in the face, both literally and figuratively, at 580KIDO. Everybody has a plan to get punched in the face. I really didn't see a lot of adjustments there. And, you know, what do you do? Have they been too dependent on Jay Ajayi? And because he fumbles twice, is it time to not have him run the ball anymore? I mean, you're the football guy. You tell me.
Oh, no. He is still probably the best back in the Mountain West. He fumbled twice. Part of it comes from that extra effort. The quarterback situation, I think that was an adjustment. You put your redshirt freshman, and that is certainly an adjustment.
Well, and not that I'm a football guy, but Air Force didn't adjust. Heck, they could have just rushed three and put back eight. You know, they kept going man coverage when they brought in Finley there, just based on the fact Finley's not going to run like Hendrick. Hendrick, as you and I have talked about for years, basically what he does is he gets a couple runs under him, and then he's that dual threat along with Matt Miller. But if you take away the run from him and make him beat you with his arm, that's kind of tough to do, and we saw that. But I think Air Force could have adjusted. And again, based on my years in the NFL, well, watching the NFL. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. you know, why not drop eight?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't have an answer to that. I just know that, again, the receiving corps suspect for Boise State, and that was pointed out glaringly again. I mean, you shut down Matt Miller, there's very few other options. Most Bronco fans couldn't name you two other receivers on the team.
Do you blame Coach Pete for that?
Do I blame Coach Pete for what?
Leaving the cupboard empty, or Coach Harsin for not coming up with somebody else besides Matt Miller?
I think it is what it is. I think you have a case where you have a head coach who leaves, who, by the way, got himself exposed over the weekend. And you have a coach coming in who's rebuilding. I mean, how many freshmen and sophomore are starting and playing for the Broncos, Kevin?
Got me.
Exactly. A lot. Yeah, there's a lot of freshmen. So they are young. They're inexperienced.
A lot of freshmen playing for Tennessee, too. And they kept it close against a much more talented Georgia team.
Yes, but that's a wonderful SEC team. So
No. But, I mean, you know, you can make excuses.
Oh, there's no excuse. I'm just saying there's a lot of youth in that program.
I believe at that level, and I'm just as tough on Alabama or Oregon or whoever else that I like this week. You make mistakes, you've got to be held accountable for them.
Yeah, well, I think they are being held accountable.
I don't know. I mean, I watched...
Really? What pass have you seen given?
I watched Coach Harsin's press conference, and we need to do this, we need to do that. That was a red flag that something is not right there. To lose to Air Force when you physically and have much more talent, that's inexcusable. It is, in my opinion.
Well, then maybe they should fire Harsin and hire somebody for $200,000 a year. Would that make you happy?
Well, is that what Harsin makes?
Well, no, you're saying he's overpaid, that he should be held accountable.
I didn't say he's overpaid. I'm saying when you're making $1.5 million, then you better deliver. And that loss to Air Force is inexcusable. It's embarrassing. I love Air Force. I think they do well. But mm-hmm. I think that, again, if you're one of these preeminent programs, which is what they sell people when they raise the ticket prices, then you need to deliver. It's like George Clooney getting married. He married someone who's cosmetically appealing and smart. He didn't settle. Why should we?
I got to do this. Your traffic now, Kevin.
Oh, is it Monday? It must be. It's wet. As Dave Burnett said, be very careful. Coming up, Fox News. And A.J. Belukoff makes his case to you, to me, to the Republic on why he should replace Butch Otter. Listen closely. We'll talk. Let's talk. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Serving Emmett.